Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast.
The 49ers roster countdown continues. Number 11, Brandon Ayuk, going into his third year, which is key if you ever watch the development of wide receivers in the NFL. And the question I want to ask myself today, and what we're going to end with, can Brandon Ayuk be the wide receiver one for the 2022 49ers? Question we're going to answer. We're going to jump into some film. We're going to go through background, his draft profile, what he's done for the 49ers, and then end with, will he be the 49ers number one wide receiver in 2022? Now, if we look at kind of who he is, jersey number 11, I love the 1-1, 6 foot 200 pounds. He's 24 years old, young, entering into his third season. Now, the good news is he was a first-round pick, traded up in the back end of the first round. We'll detail that trade later. But because of that, you've got 5 years of Ayuk instead of just four on that rookie deal. So with what's happening now with Debo about to get extended and all that stuff, you add an entire year on a cheaper salary cap because he is a first-round wide receiver. You get that fifth-year option, which is important. So as we do go through his background, let's jump into some film. This is something I put up for Patreon a year ago, I believe. So again, if you're a Patreon member, all you gotta do is type Brandon Ayuk into your search field. I know we got like 300 videos up there, but just type in Ayuk and it'll pull up right away. I think this is a 30 plus minute breakdown on his film. So you'll see it paused and moved around. I'm talking over this. If you want to watch the original video, that's on Patreon. Patreon.com/49ersRushPodcast. Best way to support the show. But yeah, we did a full 30-minute clip just on his rookie year film, which was a blast. Now, how do you pronounce his name? It's Ayuk for our street fighter fans. Ayuk, right? Like you can get it that way. But it's pronounced I, like the eyeball, and Yuk, Y-O-O-K, Ayuk. He is the only second person from Northern Nevada High School to become a first-round pick. Former defensive tackle Sean Knight was drafted by New Orleans Saints, number 11 overall in 1987. Now, even though he grew up in Nevada, he's got roots in Northern California. He attended Sierra College, which is in Rockland, California, for 2 years before he transferred to Arizona State. And for those of you, my old folks that have been Niners fans for a while, that's where the 49ers spent training camp for about 15 plus years back in the 80s and 90s. So, the connection to the 49ers has been there for a while for Ayuk. And he even said when he got drafted, quote, "My mom's been a huge 49ers fan her whole life. So this kind of bled on me a little bit when I was younger," end quote. And so a lot of friends and family from back home were all talking about how he's going to the Niners, going to the Niners. And it was crazy that it actually happened. Now, during his time at JUCO, we're going to kind of bounce around high school, JUCO, college, 49ers, building this complete player background profile out, just providing as much context and nuance as we can to this amazing player. And again, I think we spend more time on these players that are, this is number 11 out of a 53-man roster, and if you wanted to have them higher, you wouldn't be wrong. We finished with number 11, and one, I'm just so excited about what he brings with Trey Lance, because I think his best skill set and Trey Lance's best skill set pair completely. But back to his time at Sierra College and later Arizona State, work ethic has been the key everywhere he's been. Ben Noonan, who coached him at Sierra College, said, man, dude lived in the weight room. When he first arrived at Sierra College, he could squat 275 pounds. That's it. When he left, 500 pounds. So, like, you're talking about a wide receiver that can squat 500 pounds. Squat's something that you got to build in the weight room. That's just all there is to it. He also said that routinely stayed 30 minutes after practice working on routes, which was rough in Sierra Nevada because it's so hot. You know, coach said usually it's 110 degrees out there or whatever, but he'd stay. And then he was the first one out with the quarterbacks. You know, you hear that a lot, but look at this offseason, him and Trey Lance. If you see a video of Trey Lance working out, guess who's with him? Yep, Brandon Ayuk. And so very demanding, very – he put the work in, which is what I love most about it. Now, again, Robert McQueen High School, Reno, Nevada. And, you know, he grew up there, played wide receiver, defensive back, and return kicks. He did that his entire career. Even when he went to JUCO, even when he was at Arizona State, he was a beast kick returner. I mean, just absolutely insane what he was able to accomplish. He was all Northern Nevada, honorable mention all state as a senior. And then he goes to Sierra Junior College. Okay. And whenever he goes there as a freshman, caught 29 passes, 573 yards, five touchdowns, was named all Big Eight Conference. Then junior, he was an All-American, junior college All-American, sorry, his sophomore year. 60 receptions, 960 yards, 14 touchdowns. Also returned two kickoffs for a touchdown and a punt for a touchdown. So incredible. Finished with 2,499 all-purpose yards with his junior college career. And then he transferred. Now, he got offers from Kansas, Colorado State, Tennessee, Alabama. But he chose Arizona State because they wanted him as a wide receiver. Alabama wanted to move him to a corner. And the story goes, Alabama came, watched him work out, and they liked his athleticism, his body style, all those things, which we'll go over soon. They weren't sure he had the speed. And so he said, I'll run the 40 right now. Gets out there, runs back-to-back 40s with a 4.46 and a 4.48. Alabama offered him on the spot. But he wanted to play receiver. He was stuck on that. And so he chose Arizona State, which is important for the Niners fans, because guess who the head coach is? Herm Edwards. What does that mean? He is best friends. Not good friends. Best friends with John Lynch. Like, I mean, that was the connection that got him to the 49ers. And they will take players if they can trust the coaching staff. They've been burned by Alabama in the past. And so, you know, you talk about Brandon Ayuk and his journey. If he chose to go to Alabama, he is not going to be a 49er, period. Not after that Reuben Foster thing. They're not taking a top-tier player from Alabama. They just don't trust the coaching staff. They feel they were lied to. Anyway, take that for what you will. So whenever he goes his junior year, 2018, at Arizona State, his first year, right, because he transferred from JUCO, very successful transformation. It's not even close. Steps in, played 13 games for the Sun Devils, 33 catches, 474 yards, and three touchdowns. But he was behind N'Keal Harry. And it took him time, and once N'Keal Harry got drafted, you know, moved on, that's whenever he exploded. That's whenever he kind of took over his senior year, recorded 1,192 receiving yards his senior year, fifth most in ASU history, second in FBS regular season yards after the catch, Shanahan staple, 710 yards after the catch. Unbelievable. 10.9 yards after the catch per reception, 12th best in the country. I mean, dude was just lighting it up, man. Receiving yards, averaged 99.3 receiving yards per game. I mean, you can just go on. Six of his eight touchdowns were more than 30 yards. And this is something that I care the most about. We haven't seen the best thing about Brandon Ayuk's game, and that's big-time deep touchdowns. He excels at it. He tracks the ball as well as anybody whenever it's up in the air, and we haven't seen it. He's gotten 6 and 8 deep targets over 20 air yards since he's been drafted by the 49ers. That is going to change with Trey Lance. Now, back to his senior year, he went over 2,000 all-purpose yards for his career, despite only being there 2 years. racked up 1,870 all-purpose yards his senior year, which is just insanity. That's a lot of yards. To put that into context, Deebo Samuel had 1,770 all-purpose yards last year. Now, I know college is different, Pac-12 is different, but he went off. There's no doubt about it. He was the only player in the country to have 200 yards, both punt and kicking return yards. Just unreal what he was able to accomplish. Now, he goes to the combine after having core muscle surgery in April. He had core muscle surgery after the combine. Like, he was still dealing with an issue, very similar to Bosa. Gets out there, runs a 4.5040, which is good, not great. Keep in mind, he ran a 4.46 and a 4.48 2 years previously. But if you look at his 10-yard split, his get off, 1.52, which is top 93%. In the NFL for wide receivers. 40-inch vertical. Dude can leap 92%. Wingspan, 81 inches. He's got 33.5-inch arms. They are long, and he uses them very, very well. Top 89% of wide receivers. 9.75-inch hands. Check. Bench press reps, 11. Broad jump, 128. That's wonderful. I mean, he had so many traits that you want as a wide receiver. And those long arms, you know, he's only 6 foot. But it doesn't matter whenever you have arm length like that, because he can just go pluck the ball out of the sky, especially 40-inch vertical. So if you look at that catch radius, it's top of the list. That's all there is. He got drafted in the first round, pick number 25. The 49ers, they jumped up and got him. My pre-draft write-up, this is before the 49ers picked him. I said explosive but raw. One good year of production. I went through and talked about how some plays looks like he has the best hands in the draft and snatches the ball perfectly out of the air. Then he proves you wrong with the routine drop. Still has a couple of those. Very raw, bit of a project wide receiver with insane upside. Does not run the full route tree. Arizona does not ask them to do that. Arizona State, sorry. But who knows? Ball security, a little bit of a concern, but man, incredible on deep balls, incredible missed tackles, incredible yards after the catch. Just needs to be coached up. Now, my player comparisons for him, again, this was before he was drafted. Nate Burleson, Justin Jefferson, and CeeDee Lamb. Now, you could say, well, that's a pretty big gap between those guys. Well, this was before they were all drafted. But that's the physical makeup. That's the play styles. Those style of players. That's what he had. I said he would be drafted anywhere between late first to third round. The biggest differential of any wide receiver in the draft. And 100% he lived up to that. Now, quotes from Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch after they drafted him. Kyle Shanahan said, quote, "There is no doubt about it. Lamb was the other guy who was in competition with him," end quote. John Lynch said, "Brandon Ayuk and Kinlaw were two of the 6 players that they wanted to take at 13 before the draft started." So they get to 13. Both of them are still there. They trade back one spot. And John Lynch says, if Kinlaw would have got picked at 13, they would have taken Ayuk at 14. Now, you could kind of take... Let's see here how to phrase this. You could say, yeah, of course, every GM says that. Well, they've been pretty damn honest about things like this. Injury news, don't trust. This, I kind of do trust. Now, the trade that they got to get Ayuk is interesting because they fell back from 13 to 14 with the Bucks, and they got an extra fourth rounder for it. Then they traded that fourth rounder to jump up to 25 overall, but they had to add a little more. So they traded their number 31 pick, their fourth round pick they got in trading back with Javon Kinlaw, and then a fifth round pick as well, 176, to go up and get him. So they were excited about this. As soon as CeeDee Lamb went, they jumped up and went and got their guy. So drafted him there. Now, what has he accomplished since he showed up? He's started 27 out of 29 games. Snap counts, good play, you know, played in 12 games his rookie year, played in every single game last year, which you got to love. And if you go back to his time in Arizona State, he never even missed a practice, let alone a game. So he's been there. Now, he had a little bit of an issue. There's no doubt about that. And I'm going to play this clip from Kyle Shanahan. This was just a couple days ago, and I think it's the most promising clip of anything that's happened in Brandon Ayuk's career, because, right, you had the whole doghouse moment last year. He didn't start week one. Trent Sherfield started over him. All those things. Kyle Shanahan's going to explain it for us very clearly.
Important. It's people, you got to go through experiences to learn stuff. I mean, people can tell you everything they want, but you don't really know until you go through it. And I think that was the cool thing hearing from Brandon, because his rookie season was COVID year. And so he didn't have anything in the offseason. He just showed up here, and that we didn't even know until about 2 weeks before we showed up whether we were having a season or not. So he was a little behind. And then training camp was kind of a joke for the whole league. And so the season was kind of weird. And then we had so many people get hurt, and he had to play a ton. But that's all he knew with NFL. So his experience is, man, I just kind of showed up, and I started all year, and people say I'm going to be one of the best guys next year. And he does have that ability. But he thought that was NFL. And the next offseason, COVID still, we didn't have the right rules. And he didn't know he had to do anything until camp. So he just came a little behind. He's like, oh, man, this camp's tougher than last year. It's like, yeah, last year wasn't camp. And then you get into the season, and it's, man, this is different. And I think Brandon, instead of blaming other people and making excuses, he worked, didn't say a lot, just kept going to work. And he's a smart dude, and he is perceptive. And he learned, wow, this is right. This is totally different. Man, I'm going to be ready for year three. Because year two was really my rookie year. And that's why he's so much far ahead right now. And sometimes guys got to get cut to learn that. And that's what you hope guys don't have to do. But guys got to learn it somewhere.
And here we are standing on the other side of the tunnel that Brandon Ayuk came out of. You remember last year, people were like, oh, fire Shanahan, can't use his number one wide receiver, he's not developing, whatever. No. Through transition and rough times, sometimes you have to go through stuff. And in order to do that, he's got to work it out himself. I mean, look at what's happening around the league. Kyler Murray forcing him to watch tape and then not because it hurt his feelings. Like, no, you can't. Sometimes you have to be abrasive as a coach, and you got to develop these guys. And I love the path that Brandon Ayuk has taken, and I think this year is going to be a huge jump up. Jump up from what? Well, let's look at his past numbers. His rookie year, you remember he was injured at the start with that core muscle surgery, took him some time, all that stuff. Only played, he started 11 games, played in 12, had 60 receptions, led the team, 748 yards, and 5 touchdowns. Then he comes the last year, didn't start week one. Took him 6 weeks before he started putting up quality numbers because he had to change the way he played, and it was run blocking. Like, no, you don't get to what, like, if you don't block in Shanahan's team, even if you're a wide receiver, you don't play. It's that simple. I don't care how good a wide receiver you are. That outside zone is number one for Kyle Shanahan. So it took him a while, ended up with 56 catches, so 4 less, but 826 yards. So even though he had 4 less catches last year, he had over 50 more receiving yards, 14.8 yards per reception, which was incredible, and 5 receiving touchdowns again. Now, again, you look at the deep targets, which, again, my favorite thing about Brandon Ayuk's game is tracking that damn deep ball. And with the 40-inch vertical, those long arms, soft hands, it's where I think he's at his best. We haven't seen it. We have not seen it yet. Jimmy just couldn't throw it deep or didn't want to. He's had 6 deep targets last year and 8 deep targets in 2020. And that wasn't with Jimmy Garoppolo, right? That was the whole injured season and, you know, Nick Mullins and all that stuff. So, what is it looking forward? Can Brandon Ayuk be the wide receiver one for the 49ers? Now, I do expect Debo to sign. And I think this year is going to be much closer to a wide receiver one and wide receiver 1A. I don't think there's going to be a giant bifurcation in receiving yards like there was last year, right? Where you have, you know, Debo getting, you know, 1,400 yards or whatever, and Ayuk getting 800 yards. I don't think that's going to be the case. And so I went through, did my 2022 projections. I got him getting 98 targets, 64 receptions. So the reception's going up a little bit, but the quality of reception's going up. That's what's important to me. Average depth of target will go up. I got him eclipsing the 1,000-yard mark for the first time in his career with 1,034 yards and 7 touchdowns. That's a pretty damn good year. Does that make him the wide receiver one? No, I still have Debo getting more yards, But I have Debo taking a slight step back and Ayuk's taking a slight step forward, narrowing that gap. And, man, I am so pumped to see the Trey to Brandon Ayuk connection. It's going to be huge because I think Trey's skill set matches closer with what Brandon Ayuk has to offer than Debo. But Debo's just different. Even though he matches better with Ayuk, Debo's still Debo. So yeah, I'm excited, pumped for what Ayuk can bring. He's our number 11 player.
Did you know that you can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks? You can turn $10 into $1,000 with basketball, hockey, college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. And here's what's great. You can get action on sports on more than 30 different states across the country, including California, Texas, and Georgia. On top of that, you got playoff basketball actions on the horizon, and this is the best place to take advantage of all of basketball's postseason actions. Some of these player props: Nikolai Jokic for over 10 rebounds, Anthony Davis more than 2 blocks, Lillard, 4 three-pointers made. You get to pick exactly how you want to use your bets. So, download the app today. Use code 49ers49ERS for a deposit match up to $100. Again, that's promo code 49ers for a first deposit match up to $100 over on Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
If you care about security and convenience, you need Eufy Video Lock. Let's just say you're sitting on the couch and you want to lock the door and you don't want to get up. Got you covered. You're wondering who's visited your house while you're away from home? Done. You want video that's stored on your device without a monthly fee? Eufy Video Lock has everything that you need. On top of that, it's easy to install. You don't have to drill anything. All you need is a Phillips screwdriver. That's it. Keyless entry, fingerprint recognition, no battery anxiety, and they have 24/7 customer support on standby for you whenever you need it. So, if you haven't yet, go to Eufy Video Lock. You can Google it. You can check out the videos and all those things. That is EUFY Video Lock. Or visit eufyofficial.com/video lock to see how you can gain complete control of your door. That's Eufy Video Lock.
We've made it to the top 10 of the 49ers roster countdown. And unlikely candidate, perhaps, at number 10. Maybe not talent-wise. Deserves to be up here, but as far as consistency and versatility and one of the only mainstays in the interior of the offensive line, Daniel Brunskill comes in at number 10. And, you know, whenever we were doing these rankings and kind of pairing numbers, it was just hard to keep him out of the top 10. Yeah, there are definitely far more talented players ranked lower than him, even at premium positions. But when you look at the 2022 year, Trey Lance being comfortable and not harassed up the middle is at a priority for this team. And Daniel Brunskill is the only returning guy in there. Nobody else has literally any starts. If you're looking at Aaron Banks stepping at left guard, you're looking at maybe Jake Brendel. We'll talk about him. 3 career starts. If you're going to put a rookie or Colton McKivitz or Jalen Moore at right guard, again, more question marks. Daniel Brunskill is going to be starting for this team. There's no doubt about it. Just where? That's the question. We're going to be hearing from Kyle Shanahan a little bit later as well, detailing what this camp competition is going to look like. But what we're going to go through now is, man, very, very crazy journey from high school, college, to the San Diego Fleet, which doesn't even exist anymore, to where he is now. He has scrapped his way. Didn't even get a college scholarship, didn't even get drafted, didn't even get invited to, like, combine. Like, you can just go on and on and on. It's a modern day story. If he was a quarterback, they'd be making movies about this guy's journey. I mean, it's freaking Kurt Warner-esque, but he's an interior offensive lineman. So let's jump into kind of who he is and what he has done for the 49ers. He wears jersey number 60, 6'5", 300 pounds, which is kind of that prototypical old lineman that Shanahan likes, that 6'5", 300 pound mark. He's 28 years old, which is crazy because he's only entering his fourth season technically, even though he's been around the NFL much longer than that, only 4 accrued seasons. He did have a couple years
with the Falcons, but never got playing time, so it never qualified as a true year. He's from Valley Center High School, California, just east of Carlsbad, just so like, you know, much more inland. But dude is a smart, smart, smart civil engineering major for San Diego State, the Aztecs. It's crazy to me how many players came from San Diego that are on this roster. I think more players from San Diego and San Diego State than any other colleges for the 49ers on their current roster. Now, you look at what he did in high school, 3.83 GPA in high school, kid's smart as hell. 2-year letter winner, first team all CIF, first team all Valley League, first team all North County, all these different things. Team captain as a senior, also, talk about athleticism, played volleyball, lacrosse, and was on the wrestling team. There is nothing I respect more than people that go through wrestling. They're just almost impossible. You know, whether I played against them, coached for them, they were incredible. I used to do like MMA stuff in college. The worst beating I ever got in my life was against a wrestler guy with a wrestler background. They just translate. They translate. It's all about leverage. It's all about using your body and counterweight. It just translates. And again, you know, you look at whenever I'm doing O-line film, man, if I see wrestler, I plus, 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 because it's just, it teaches you how to use your body and leverage and bend and all those things. Walked on in 2015 to San Diego State. He did not get a scholarship offer. Began his college career as a tight end. He had 15 receptions, 143 yards, and 2 touchdowns in 27 games. But then his senior year in college went back to offensive line. Listen to some of the awards that he got. 2012, Offensive Co-Scout Player of the Year. Remember, walk-on. Like, he had to grind his way up. 2016, President's Award, which is the highest standard of athletic and academic excellence. That permeates this entire roster. Offensive Lineman of the Year in 2016, 3-time Mountain West Fall All-Academic Team. 2015, Honorable Mention All-Mountain West. 2016, Second Team. 2015, Honorable Mention Pro Football Focus All-American. I mean, he did well. Was on the Werfel Trophy watch list, which is incredible. It's kind of similar to the Walter Payton Man of the Year award for college athletes. Again, goes to people that do the most community service and other things. He was huge on that. Also chosen as the Burlsworth nominee, which goes to the best college walk-on, which is incredible. Again, scrappy. He's fought for everything he's ever got. Played for the San Diego Fleet in 2019. Under former Rams head coach Mike Martz. So he played the AAF. It goes bankrupt. You know, everybody got screwed. Nobody got paid. Then he joins the 49ers in 2019. So he legitimately played 2 football seasons in 2019. And we went all the way to the Super Bowl. So it might have broke the record for most games played in. And he played a very significant role in that 2019 run. He started 4 games at right tackle in 2019, 2 games at right guard, and 1.5 games. He stepped in halfway through for Joe Staley, got hurt, at left tackle. I mean, dude just stepped in. Did an admirable job, incredible job. He's played everywhere, center, tackle, guard, both tackle spots, as a matter of fact. He's just the Swiss Army knife of the offensive line. Now, yeah, and I would say this, you know, most important offensive lineman besides Trent Williams. Yeah, I'd put him ahead of Mike McGlinchey, and we did in this, you know, countdown as well, because there's no mainstay in the interior of that offensive line. He's got to be that. In 2019, he won the Community Relations Youth Football Ambassador Award for the 49ers and has had his best games of his career against Aaron Donald, perhaps one of the better defensive players in the history of the sport. Aaron Donald did get through and make those plays in the NFC Championship in the fourth quarter, but you know he goes against them twice a year and has had literally 5 of his best games against Aaron Donald, which just doesn't make sense to me, but hey, I love it. I love it. We don't have a lot of metrics for him because, again, he didn't get invited to the combine or any of those things. We do know 17 bench press reps, so that's on the low end for sure. 3-cone 7.9, not great. Vertical 28, not great. He's undrafted for a reason. He is a person that is a better football player than he is athlete and just gets the job done consistently. Never gets injured. Never gets injured. He just plays. In fact, started 20 games at right guard last year, which is awesome. Now, his journey through the NFL is interesting. You know, undrafted free agent in 2017 for Atlanta, was on their practice squad, never got activated. 2018 on their practice squad, never got activated, gets cut. Joined the fleet, and then the 49ers, and again, he played 12 games, I think it was, for the fleet. Yeah, 12 games for the fleet, and then 20 games for the 49ers. That's 32 games in one calendar year that guy went through. Incredible. Whenever he signed with the 49ers, because he was undrafted free agent, you don't get the draft four-year deal. It's restricted free agent deal, which means he had zero bargaining power until after this year. And, you know, if you look at what he's only made $2.2 million. And I know that's a lot of money for a lot of people, would be for me as well. But whenever you're talking about somebody that's started 40 games in the NFL, that's not that much. Now, the good news is he's going to make all of that again this year if he stays healthy. And next year, he's an unrestricted free agent, meaning he gets to go through the whole ordeal, and he's going to get paid. Probably his only contract he's going to get, you know, if he does a 3 or 4 year deal, because he'll be 32 when it's all said and done. And I think he's going to get that $8 to $10 million range. I don't know if the 49ers keep him. I know they want to. I would love to keep him, but this dude needs to get paid. He deserves to get paid, no doubt about it. Now, if you look at how this guy he's volume. He just doesn't get hurt, first off. College, 54 games played, 27 at tight end. NFL, 47 games played. San Diego Fleet, 12 games played. And he started everywhere. So let's go through some numbers. 2019 comes in. 4 games at right tackle, 2 at right guard, 1.5 at left tackle. He gave up 2 sacks and 9 pressures. And that was the Super Bowl run year. 2020 comes in. Starts 8 games at right guard, then starts the second half, 8 games at center. 4 sacks, 31 pressures allowed that year. Last year, 20 games, every freaking game, didn't miss a snap at right guard, just freaking Iron Man. Gave up 5 sacks, 41 pressures. Now, he's not near the top of anything. If you look at metrics from Pro Football Focus or whatever, he is a slightly above average starter. So why is he number 10 for us? 1, consistency. 2, versatility. He just fixes everything. I don't know where his best position is. I'd probably say right tackle, but he's not even getting snaps there. I think he's going to probably be the starter at center eventually, but let's listen to Shanahan talk about what this is going to be like this year.
I'm both. That's stuff I want to talk to Brunsko about first and everything, but I mean, he's going to have a chance at both. We know, I mean, he started at right guard for us for a while. We know he can play center. We got Jake Brendel doing that too. There's going to be some competition there big time. We have possible rookies to compete at right guard. So it's going to be musical chairs in there for this camp. It's pretty cool because we got a number of guys that we believe can start. Brunskill's the only one who's shown people that he can do it, because he's the one who's had that opportunity. A lot of the other guys, you don't know for sure until they do it for 16 games, 17, just like I'm talking about with our quarterback. But what we see in practice every day, we think we got a number of choices, and it'll be fun to watch them kind of all battle it out.
It's got to be a competition. That's all you can say. Now, I don't know where. I think center. He's starting somewhere. He's starting center, or he's starting right guard. That's just there. I just cannot see a reality where a healthy Daniel Brunskill is not starting week one or really throughout this season. Now, I will say this. If for some odd reason he's not starting, holy cow, that means some players have really surprised. And not a bad situation. If Daniel Brunskill's your number 6 offensive lineman, not a bad situation. Now, he's going to be somewhere. Right tackle, left tackle, he's playing. I'm telling you that right now. I really do like this guy, and I think the value that he brings is consistency. Iron Man, he never misses a game, and versatility. So he's going to be somewhere out there. I'm excited to see what that's going to look like. I hope he wins the center job. I think that'd be best for the 49ers offense together. Kyle loves this guy. He loves him so much. So he's going to be out there. So that's Daniel Brunskill. I want to say thank you to Josh and Anthony, executive producers of this series. They have crushed it, and we got 9 more to go.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.